This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? Ooh, the mighty Reds head down to San Sebastian. We got a win. We got 3 points, but we didn't get enough in terms of winning the group. Frustrating match. First half was all right. Garnacho got a nice goal. De Gea had a big double save at the end of the first half. We had the momentum heading into the second half to get that second goal. And then they just stifled us. La Liga being La Liga. Honestly, the ref had a mar. What's new? If you remember correctly, the reason that we needed this win was because they beat us at home from a very dubious penalty call against our butcher from Argentina, Lisandro Martinez. So one of those games, you know, sir, there's a reason that nobody watches the Liga no more, because the league is effectively unwatchable, because it's like playing in molasses playing in Spain. Harry Magoo was getting thrown up front because, you know, there just weren't a lot of options. Erik ten Hag probably didn't get all the calls right in the second half. The midfield just, like, couldn't pass through theirs. But what are we going to do? We got more games in February. You know, we made it out of the group, but we have to do, like, playoffs, you know, in the next round. Explain Europa League to me. I have no idea.
Sir, we're talking about Europa League here. Price. I mean, look, it's a win. It's 3 points. Garnacho on the scene, a banger of a goal. Links up with CR7, the legend, the GOAT. Bruno with a fantastic header on to Ronaldo. You get the win, you get the clean sheet, De Gea with a hell of a game. You know, I feel good. This is just Europa League. I mean, Spanish team away, like referee from who knows where, like paid off. It's all just a racket. You couldn't get more of a racket than like a final group stage game in San Sebastian against Saucy Dad. So look, you got to move on to the next one. You can't be perfect, but I'm not going to be crying about anything because this ain't the Champions League. I mean, this is like, Hans and Franz are going to be upset here, but it's Europa League. Like, let's not, like, people were kind of like pissed we didn't win the group. He went with a lighter 11, you know, Donnie started. I mean, like, he kind of switched it up. As he should. I'm more worried about Villa. Like, that's what we're getting paid. I want to be getting in top four. I want to be competing with the Chelseas, the Tottenhams, the Arsenals of the world. That's where I think this season should be focused. Europa League, hey, we're on to the playoff round and then the knockout round. And you know how I think about this competition. It's just going to drain the life out of us in the later stages of a season when we have real things to play for. It's just going to be a distraction. And ultimately, some Spanish side is going to knock us out in a two-legged tie, basically, rolling all over the ground, because that's how they do. And we've always struggled against Spanish teams in European football. So when it comes to trying to get this result, I wasn't going to hang my hat on it because I knew how it would go.
Yeah, it's well said. To be fair, you know, it's always a frustrating place to play. You also have, like, the quality of the refs in Europa League. They almost make the Premier League refs look good based on at least our two matches against Sociedad. Frustrating, right? Like, they were going down early. First half, they were going down, lying on the ground. Every time they got, like, pushed into, bumped, whatever. And then we could not play through the midfield. But it's a result. It's a 3 points. It's a clean sheet. We don't win the group. But, like you said, whatever. It's
the
about
same
Villa.
Thing as
it's
Atleti.
About Villa on Sunday.
Rimmer, we got knocked out of Champions League. Atleti, same thing. We're never going to out-shithouse the shithousers.
They're the kings of it.
It's just, and it's one of these things where, like, think of the ref at home. Nani red card against Real Madrid.
European, like, refs. It's,
you know, we've always shady. Had this issue as Manchester United, the history of our club, short of like 1968, coming back and winning the glorious competition with that amazing team. But it's always been this way in Europe for us. We get screwed by the refs. We're always playing against Spanish teams. We're never going to out-shithouse them. We get bad luck, draws. it's just the way it's gone. And obviously, Villarreal, same thing. That final, same exact thing.
Oof.
And so you're competing with a certain caliber of ref on the weekend, usually, and then midweek in Kazakhstan, a guy who you know got wired some like Ethereum from somewhere, and he's calling and dropping yellows on you like it makes no sense. And that's just the way it is. So it's like you can't put so much stake into it. And oh, by the way, like I'd be frustrated if it was Champions League, but I'm not going to be frustrated about Europa League. Let's be honest here. It's like, who cares about Europa League, sir?
And we still made it out of the group. Yeah, we still like finished the 15 points, only lost one game because of that penalty. All in all, like the group, the way it went better than it certainly started. The team has gotten better. You know, it was a pretty solid performance defensively. Certainly scratchy as hell in the second half. That wasn't great. But like you said, we move on. It's about Villa on the weekend. That
is the Europa League the last trophy we've won?
Yes.
That is the last. So yes, I think correct. It's a curse.
Exactly.
I think Europa League is a curse.
And Erik ten Hag has to break that curse on the side. So who do you, the real question is, who you want, sir? Who you want?
No. Here's who you want? Here's the, okay. There's a lot of lore here.
I know,
in the
after
Europa League.
After this, I want to know who you want.
Okay, I'll tell you. But I'm saying the Europa League is cursed in many ways. And it's cursed because we won the Europa League with Jose Mourinho.
Start of the pod.
Paul Pogba. And we thought that Europa League was going to catapult United back on track for success.
Wrong.
And because of that Europa League, we started this podcast because we're like, United are about to like go on a run. It would be great to have a pod talk about all the things we're going to win because like Mourinho, woke up this morning feeling fine. Got Manchester United on my mind. Jose's got the boys playing the way they should. I mean, great song, great manager, winning things. I thought we were going to win more things. And guess what? We've been back to the final. Can't win it. That's why I just had a bad taste in my mouth. So as far as Hansa Franz goes, it's like, I'm not bothered. Because this competition, it just, when you start worrying about this competition, it kind of, it's a mark to market of where United should be. United should be winning trophies that are more important than Europa League. And oh, by the way, it's cursed. And winning it again is only going to double the curse. It's not like winning it clears
the curse. No, it breaks the curse.
You got to win the Champions League to clear the curse.
No, it breaks the curse. It breaks the. It doesn't break the entire curse.
No.
I don't think the curse
makes it stronger.
I don't think the curse is broke until you win the league. Because, you know, that's been 10 years going
win
on.
Something.
10 years gonna go
we
on 30.
Win something.
We do gotta win something. I take the Europa League. I agree. There are more important trophies to be prioritizing. Top four isn't a trophy, but that should be the focus given the repercussions on the broader scale in terms of money and the Champions League and bringing in new players. But now it's about the villains. They're gonna be a better team than they were early in the season. Let's be honest, CVG was like, he didn't have it. But Unai Emery, he is a very good manager. He will get the best out of them. They'll be well-disciplined. They'll play, you know, they won't be on the ground as much as the Sociedads were, but they'll be a frustrating team to play. They'll have more pep in their step, and they're going to get the new manager bounce. So he just came in, and we're playing him twice in a week. They'll be bouncy. And they're playing at Villa Park, so it'll be a good match for United, a big test. And it's important, these last two games in the league before the World Cup, we got to be getting all six. You know, they're not easy opponents, the Villans and Fulham, but if we win those, we're going to be in a really good spot headed into the Winter World Cup. Can you believe it?
Big Europa League guy over here.
Huge,
all right, huge. Let's get quick PSA for the podcast. You like the American Red Devils, we are four fans by fans. No sponsors on the podcast. We want to go the direct fan support route in 2022. If you want to support us, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. It's simple. We do a behind the scenes episode every month. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it, and it keeps this podcast ad free, or at least keeps us from reading ad copy and butchering it, which would be a riot in and of itself. But save you guys time, save us time. Support us on Patreon. Also check out our store, AmericaRedDevils.store. We have great merchandise, hoodies, beanies, everything you need for winter. Getting warm, watching some football. Check it out. Everything you buy supports us as well. We're freezing here in the bunker. I mean, maybe not freezing, but it's 4 degrees out here in Cali, so it's cold.
We've gotten soft,
but I have a thick coat, so I'm set. Also, check out our website, AmericaDevils.com. Great fan-generated content. Like, subscribe wherever you see us because we are small fan-generated content. We don't have any backers, so everything you're hearing is just coming straight from the gut. That biased fan take from the couch, sir. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews or 5-star reviews of the American Red Devils podcast, wherever you listen. It's a great way to support the pod. Helps us get found organically by other fans like yourself. And even better, we're giving away free merch, free ARD gear from now until the end of time. All you have to do is write a 5-star review wherever you listen and send a screenshot of that review to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address. And I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free American Red Devil gear. Send it right to your door. We got a great one from Sid0926. Big fan. I was a fan right from the ripping guitar intro. These guys are awesome and bring a fresh insight and voice to our club. Listening after a match, whether it was good or bad, will always give you a boost. Will definitely be a longtime listener. Thank you, big fan, Sid. Appreciate everyone writing reviews, sir. Play that Hansa Franz.
It's cursed, sir. It's cursed. Ah! That's right. We're talking Europa League. You win it, it's double cursed. Real Sociedad 0, Manchester United 1 at the Estadio and Anoeta. Dying on that one.
Leaving you to die.
That's a hard one.
Idiota.
Yeah, there you go.
Something like that.
It's the final group stage match. You knew the ref would be a problem. You knew
he was.
The Spaniards would be a problem. Ten Hag goes with the 4-2-3-1. Dave saves world number one in net. Luke Shaw left back. The Butcher and Lindelof at center back. DeLow right. Eriksen, Casemiro, Van de Beek midfield. Interesting. Donny comes in. Then you got Garnacho on the left, growing into the team. CR7 up top. Bruno Fernandes on the right. Interesting lineup from Erik ten Hag. How are you feeling about this one?
Very interesting lineup. You know, obviously Donny Van de Beek gets his first shot in a long time. I'm not sure he took the most of it. Lindelof being preferred from Maguire. That was like a kind of a big shout out in this lineup. It shows that, you know, where Harry Maguire is in the depth chart. And then Garnacho getting another start on the left. Bruno's obviously going to play. He can't play on the weekend because of yellow card accumulation. You know, I had some questions. A lot of midfielders, but I figured, like, they're going to congest the midfield. You want to be able to play through that. That's probably what he was thinking. But, you know, not everybody cover themselves in glory in this game. I think the back four played really well. De Gea played well. Midfielders, the whole midfield crew didn't play that great, but you know, it was a challenging team to play against.
And like you said, you're playing against the referee.
It's true.
Whoa! The curse
that's
is
cursed. Yeah. That song's cursed.
Hans and Franz, they're going to be upset at us. Oh, we got the remix.
Okay, back.
So, look, jumping into the game, starts cagey, Sociedad. They press United super high, but we didn't have to wait long. I mean, absolute banger of a goal from our Argentinian young winger here, Garnacho.
Well won by Bruno Fernandes. Ronaldo, Garnacho is on his way from the left. Garnacho's touch, two touches. Oh, and the third is magnificent. What a goal that is. What a moment that is. The 18-year-old has his first goal for Manchester United. He will treasure that always. Halfway to what they need to do. Coming to the end of one of the greatest careers that football has ever seen. Scored by Garnacho at the start of his journey.
This I mean, the end. He's going to be playing in LA for another 5 years. Ronaldo's not going to give it up until the late 40s.
At least.
Hopefully he goes out better than Tom Brady is at the moment. But look, what a goal by Garnacho. First of all, said he's ready. whatever he did with Ten Hag, he dug himself out of that hole. He showed up late.
He dug a
left
hole.
Left early.
He dug a hole. He clearly is good.
He's clearly a legit player and an awesome youngster, which, again, the academy provides. But he pissed off the new manager, and he made him earn it. And now he's back in the lineup, and these are the games he should be in. And what a finish. To get the ball from Ronaldo, he had a lot to do, the touch, the pace, and then the finish. Unbelievable from Garnacho.
No, absolutely right. Confident take, really. I mean, just rapid speed, beats his defender. Ronaldo does very well. Bruno does very well. And De Gea does very well with his ball, finding Bruno in the first place. And like you said, Garnacho has so much to do by the time he gets into the box. Great finish. As you said, things did not get off to the best start with him and the manager. I think earlier in the season, during preseason, there was some kerfuffle, you know, maybe some discipline stuff. Bruno even alluded to it in the post-match game. But either way, he's taken his moment. He took the most of it, got a great goal, his debut goal that he'll remember forever. And now all of a sudden we have like two really good players that can play on the left. Obviously, Rashford is probably the preferred one, but Garnacho, you know, he's probably second up. I think he's probably better than Sancho at the moment, offering more of a threat, more direct, because Sancho is not looking in high form.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Impossible meat pie, Jadon Sancho. 27th minute, Garnacho with another nice chance, but he blasted over this one a little too much. He overthought it, and then I think he slipped as well. 34th minute, United with another great chance. Chance to break, but Bruno puts a little too much on it for CR7. And then this one in the 42nd minute had to be a goal. Ronaldo one-on-one with the goalie, tries to chip him, hits the top of the net. Ronaldo should do better here.
And this was it. You were hoping you get a goal in the first 20 minutes against a tough side, that we're going to go on and get that second goal. This was just because of how the way the second half went, where there was like very little football was played. This was the big chance. This was the one that, you know, if you get this, you're cruising. Fortunately, Ronaldo just, he overshot it. Put a little too much on it and lands on the top of the net when it should have landed in the back of the net.
Yeah, well said. If you hit in the 15th minute, you should be able to get another one. But again, it's Europa League.
Yeah.
It's like Europa League. We're going to be playing some from the Champions League. I don't necessarily hate that at the end of the day because we need to be playing top teams. I'm not thinking about winning this competition. I'm thinking about getting Garnacho playing time. He's going to work his way into the first team. I like the looks that we're seeing. And oh, by the way, 44th minute, De Gea, world number one, two great saves. The fact that he's not included on the Spain World Cup roster is insane. Like, De Gea, he's in good form right now.
Yes.
Started the season a little rocky. And he's playing great. He's playing like he wants that 375 re-up.
Yeah, no doubt. We should keep him on the discount, but right, like he is playing. Now he's playing like a 375.
He's playing like he wants that re-up, bro. Yeah, like, he is. And you know what? Play to the incentive. Just give him a year. Be like, you play like this, you get one every year. And I like that, but we do need someone else coming in. But De Gea in good form, you like to see it. He was active in the second half as well. This is when, you get to the second half, Sociedad, the fallen,
the whining, the crying, the yellows,
it all just kind of goes that way. We couldn't get anything going. Ten Hag threw the double sub at it, Rashford and McTominay for Lindelof and Donny.
Didn't work.
Nothing doing. Then the double sub, Fred and Magoo for Garnacho and Eriksen.
Didn't work.
Getting up top. 90th minute scramble in front of goal, but Casemiro was offsides, and then a late corner comes to nothing. It goes to the judges' scorecards as 1-0 Manchester United. XG was really tight. I think it was like 0.99 for Sociedad, 1.01 for Manchester United. So we did win, the difference maker probably being David De Gea.
Yep.
And we pip him, but it ultimately doesn't mean anything because we could follow up. We come runners up in the group stat sheet. Manchester United had 4 shots to their 13 shots on target. They had 4, we had 1. So again, I mean, we're kind of getting away with one here, but they weren't trying to win. They're trying to not lose by 2. So a weird match, but I'm glad Garnacho burst onto the scene there.
He got his goal. You know, the players that have been playing well continue their high form. De Gea, the one you mentioned, Lisandro Martinez, he goes from strength to strength, our best defender probably by a mile, also because of his consistency. Dalot played really well again. Shaw looked good. And as you mentioned, Garnacho played very well, and Ronaldo playing a role. You know, he should have had a goal, that chance late in the first half, but like you said, who gives a shit? It's Europa League. It's about the league. It's about beating the villains on Sunday. And this, hey, the clean sheets continue. I think we haven't let up a goal in like 10 hours of football, so that's encouraging, because even if we don't make it as the winner of the group, we're still winning, and we won this match away. Tough opponent. We move on. Now it's on to Sunday.
And Garnacho, at 18 years and 125 days, has become Manchester United's youngest non-English goal scorer in major European competition, overtaking George Best. And that is a huge name. The group ends Real Sociedad at the top. And that was that they have that 8-goal differential, 15 points. Manchester United, 7, 15 points. Sheriff, or Sheriff, like you like to say on the podcast, -6 points, and Ammonia with 0. But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Erik ten Hag.
It was a win, but ultimately not quite enough to achieve the task you wanted tonight. How do you feel?
You not always get what you deserve. So is football. When you first leg, you get the penalty. What isn't the penalty? Today we win. So I'm happy with that. I'm happy with some other things like the performance from Garnacho. Donny back in the team. I think we make a really good goal with Garnacho. Some good chances as well, first half. So that was a win from today. But of course, we are disappointed. We didn't score 2 goals because that is what we needed.
Is Garnacho giving you a nice selection headache going forward?
No, we need options. And we have problems there. Anthony not available. Anthony Martial not available. Jadon Sancho not available. So it's thin, but I'm really happy with the performance, and I hope he can keep the process going. He was a threat. He scored a goal. He was reliable defending. So if he can keep this going, I'm really happy.
Was his goal the finish of somebody much older than his years, perhaps?
The what?
The finish of his goal. Yeah. Was that of somebody much older than his years?
Oh, it was a great finish. That is definitely it. I think it was a great attack over David De Gea, Bruno, Ronnie, and then the switch of play. And then the great finish was really enjoyable.
On 60 Minutes, you started to make the changes. Tactically, what was your thought process there?
Yeah, to bring extra offensive players in. But I think in that moment, we were a little bit too rash. Too erratic. We didn't work that good on the ball anymore, and so we bring less balls in the box. And when you do this, you need so come in the box.
Sir, our front three, we're tin.
We are tin.
Made of tin.
We are tin. I got distracted because you were just bantering me while he was talking. Hey, he's right. And the thing about Erik ten Hag, he doesn't always get it right, but at least he's throwing things out there. Like he knew we needed the second goal. He was making big subs in the second half. They didn't all work out because we really just couldn't pass. Also, like, you know, people are calling out, "Oh, you play Harry Maguire up front." If you look at that bench, there weren't a lot of options coming off the bench in terms of an attacker. It's fair to put the onus on the youngins.
Don't listen to people like that.
I'm not listening to people. I'm just saying, I was trying to make a point is that this team needs to be strengthened in January. And most importantly, at the number 9 position. Like, we need a striker, if not 2 strikers, with or without Ronaldo. And that just speaks to it today, because you just need an option that you could put up front. Because right now, we have 1 striker fit. And
sir, Cristiano, like Ronaldo, I told my son,
quit your whinging.
If you're a good boy, Santa will bring you gifts. And if you're not a good boy, you get a lump of coal. I don't think he understands. He's just turned 3. I don't think he understands what a lump of coal is. But I'm telling all America Red Devil fans here that in January, we will be getting a lump of coal.
If you're lucky.
We're going to get nothing. And you might get Ronaldo going to Chelsea and then nothing. So, like, lower the expectations. They've communicated that we are going to do nothing. We could have made top 4 last year, fired our manager, desperately needed a midfielder, could have signed people for like nothing, and we didn't. So any excuse they can use to not spend money, they will. And this January, they are not making moves. Now, you can go and criticize January transfers, say they don't really work. That is the norm. However, Evra, Vidic,
Bruno.
They have worked in the past. They have ignited something at Manchester United. And that's a great point with Bruno Fernandes. And we just need, it's clear what we need as far as number nine. And if Ronaldo is going to go, you got to pull somebody in.
Somebody. You just need a body.
Apparently, like, we're going so, the bargain, the dollar store, see you later to the dollar store. We're going to the quarter store. Apparently, we're looking at guys in the MLS. Nobody's ever heard
of Canadians.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just going like super bargain.
As MLS, far as, are we actually looking at MLS players?
I mean, like, as far as players linked to United, you and me are linked to United. Everyone's linked to United. So you can't, I mean, like, I read an article about an MLS striker we were looking at.
There you go.
That makes sense for where the budget is. But let's think about the draw. So we are playing, because we came up second, we got to play a Champions League team. And then we win that. That's a two-legged tie. Then we go into the knockout stage.
Who you want, by the way? We never got the.
I'm going to go through the list here. Okay. So the draw for that is Monday the 7th. Like we always tell you, UEFA, you know, everyone complains about the Super League, but UEFA is rigged, corrupt, 100%. The teams in the list, Ajax, Bayern, Barca, Sporting, Red Bull, Salzburg, Shakhtar, Sevilla, and Juventus. Oof. There are only three teams that we were going to play. And that is going to be Ajax, Barca, or Juventus. Yep. And it will most likely be, Barca. Now that I'm looking at the list, it's Ajax because of the storyline with Ten Hag. It just has to be. And it's, you can't make it up, honestly. It will, like, the draw will come. Barca or Ajax, bet the tickets. Bet your life on it. It's going to happen. They look at what's the best matchups from a TV perspective. Somehow behind the scenes, they rig the draw always.
Oh, it's clear as day. I mean, we called, remember last time? We just knew who we were going to get.
This
time
had to redraw.
They
called PSG and then they redraw.
A fix is a fix, sir. We're going to get Barca, is my opinion, because last time we played Barca, if you remember, was Champions League after the PSG. Oh, what a night, kind of night.
Yeah, that's the best Champions League we've run in had in a decade.
And then De Gea had a howler, and they had Messi back then. So that's who I'm expecting. That's actually who I want. I think that'd be a good test for United. And also, I'd love to humble them after the Frankie de Jong just like soap opera all summer. But either way, like you said,
no,
we
Barca
need matches.
In the quarters. It was the quarterfinals.
No,
Barca.
I know. I'm just talking about like they're going to be in the pot. That was the last time we played them in Europe was what? Was that 19? I don't even remember at this point. But I think we're going to get them. I hope we get them. And I hope we beat them. Beat them up. Xavi, that club's going into receivership because I don't know how many levers they got left, sir. How many levers you got?
You're looking at our long-lost cousin there because Barcelona, horrible ownership, too much debt. We're going to be selling off TV rights.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be selling naming rights to the stadium. We're going to be cutting off limbs, selling kidneys soon because the Glazers have put us in that position. So this guy likes to have a laugh at Barcelona, but at the end of the day, that's the road that we are about to get on because the Glazers got no money. They need money, and something's got to give. So they don't sound like they want to sell. All that's going to mean is going the Barcelona route, and you're going to see it.
Well, I think that is that's got to be the comp that we like look at and use as a reference point of like why we cannot allow the Glazer family to continue to sell off this club for parts. Like you said, the next thing is sell off TV rights for two and a half decades, and then take cash that out and just bank it, sell the naming rights to who, God knows who, and then just bank it because they're not going to spend any of that money or like only a percentage of that money. The rest of it will just go in their bank accounts. And that should be just a reminder to United, like we cannot leverage our future or allow our owners to continue to just like degrade our chances when they eventually leave. Because if we sell the name rights and then they eventually do leave, we're going to be stuck with a fucking boat anchor that is going to take us decades to clear out. And that is going to, you know, inhibit our ability to compete for years and years. So that's the reminder, is like, don't let them get away with it because they're going to try. They're never going to stop trying as long as they are at this club. The Glazers are insatiable.
Sir, they're getting away
greed,
with it.
Their greed is limitless.
Sir, they're getting away with it.
No, they're going to try to.
We're yelling into the
tell
wind.
You what, Glazer out is like nobody. I ain't seen nothing. No, it's all just like, I did see
sir,
United
come
fan
on.
Get
you
their
know,
flag
like,
taken yesterday.
Here's the deal. You know, it's fickle. You know that fans are fickle. It's always, we've read the histories of Manchester United. We've read the histories of in the early 1900s, the boycott against ownerships and how that doesn't work. They tried to not go to games. They fans have always been disenfranchised with the owners. And if the team's winning, no one is upset. Other than when they bought the club, the virality, the momentum behind green and gold, and this is kind of why, you know, we say green and gold till the club is sold. Now 1958 is red, right, and black till I get my club back. There's so many different movements, but the green and gold movement when the Glazers bought the team was playing amazing, and there couldn't have been more protests. I was fortunate to go to a game during that period of time. I have my green scarf on the wall from when I went to the Liverpool match at home, and it was a true movement, and we are miles and have always been miles away from that. But because it's a different era, younger fans are not tuned into that. It was just that was when Must was on top of it. Now Must seems like an apologist for the Glazers. So times have changed, and you're right. Like the way the team plays, it feels like blowing in the wind whether or not people want them out. But we've always beat that drum. We've always highlighted what the issue with this club is, and they are the issues. But so there's always the next match for us Muppets to get up for. We can't go Glazers out corner in the middle of the pod.
Agreed.
We got Villa Park. We're going to say Stevie G. Now it's Unai Emery. Count Chocula, if you missed him, the last time we saw him was in the Europa League.
It's cursed.
It's a final. We're playing them Sunday, November 6th, 6 a.m. Pacific. These are the games that are going to get us in the top four. You know, the Europa League, couldn't be bothered. Aston Villa, Villa Park, away, sneaky team, new manager bounce, trap game. This is what I'm worried about. Lifetime versus Villa, 102. We've won, drawn 41, lost 50. First time we ever played them, 1892. You know Villa's got rich history. Newton Heath versus Aston Villa, we won 2-0 in the second division as a fledgling club. Last five against them, we've drawn one, lost one, won three. One of those wins was in the FA Cup. Villa coming in, obviously Stevie G, sacked. The results have not been good. They lost to Chelsea 2-0. They lost to Fulham 3-0. They beat Brentford 4-0. That was a surprise. And they lost to Newcastle 4-0. Newcastle looks to be a team on the rise. Maybe that draw doesn't look so bad right now. But Villa, a team on the outs. New manager, Count Chocula, got sacked from Arsenal, goes to Villarreal, beats us with the Yellow Submarine in the final with a horrid penalty from David De Gea. I mean, poor David De Gea. But yeah, again, just a lot of salty. Can we avenge Gdansk?
I think we have to. You know, he's just gotten in. They're going to be bouncy. They're a solid squad. They've got a lot of good players in the mix. And he's going to get the most out of them over time. But I think we got to bring that kind of spite. Some of these players that featured in Gdansk, what was that? That was like, it feels like yesterday. Only like over a year ago, May before last.
That's what you get when you care about Europa League.
Sorry, we care about Europa League.
That's what you get when you care about that competition. You're like, oh, we're going to win it.
I know. Rashford wants revenge. McSauce wants revenge. Lindelof, well, he has to avenge because if you remember, he's the one, he let up that goal. And then De Gea, he wants revenge as well. So I think we're going to take it to him. They're a good squad. He's a good manager. It's going to be a tough match. It's going to be like Everton. Like, you know, I think I see like a 1-0 chances on both ends, but it should be an exciting one. 6 a.m. Hopefully the curse doesn't get us early.
No, it's not early. Talking about curses. 6 a.m. is not early.
Yeah, 6 a.m. is leisurely.
No, 6 a.m. is...
We're doing 6 a.m. pod, sir. Shout out to the American Red Devils. Pod never sleeps.
It does. A little history on Aston Villa. Founded in 1874. They've played at their home ground, Villa Park, since 1897. What history in that park. Aston Villa are one of the oldest and most successful clubs in England, being a founding member of the Football League in 1888 and of the Premier League in 1992. Lots of history of Aston Villa. They are one of five English clubs to have won the European Cup. They did it in the early 80s in 81, 82. They've also won the First Division seven times, the FA Cup seven times, League Cup five times, and the European Super Cup once. The club is currently ranked fifth in the all-time English top flight table since its creation in 1888. They have a rivalry with Birmingham City. And the second city derby is contested between the teams and has been played since 1879, almost 150 years. You all know their badge, and they're currently owned by an Egyptian billionaire, Nassef Sawiris, and American billionaire Wes Eden. So again, lots of money behind them. they bought Coutinho, they hired Gerrard, they famously fired him. Gerrard slipped on his arse, gave them, you know how it goes.
Steve Gerrard, yeah. Yeah, he got the sack.
Gave it to them.
He slipped on his fucking arse. Steve Gerrard. We know this is going to be a tough match. Villa's a tough side. Storied club. Back of the Premier League. They're spending money. They seem to be spending money well. Buendia. They got Ings. They got Leon Bailey. Watkins.
Got Ings. They got Mings.
Cash.
They got Cash.
Ashley Young.
Best name in world football. Matt Cash
is a top name. It is
top. Like Matt E. Cash.
They got a very solid shit-talking goalkeeper, right? He is like banter king in Martinez. Dude, it's going to be a tough game. They're going to be playing at Villa Park. They're going to be, like I said,
new Ollie manager Watkins. Bounce.
We got him twice in a week. We got him in the League Cup a couple days later. So, trap game.
I mean, this is probably like
truck game.
They got the best names in the league.
Ings is a great name too. Ollie Watkins is
Dion
also
Donker,
a great
name. Like that. That's another Ollie Watkins. Mings, I like that. Ashley Mings. Young, another great one. Ashley Young still playing.
Shout out to Ashley Young, 37, sir, our age.
Going to the injury room here. Varane out to the World Cup. Tuan Zabi, no return date. Brandon Williams, same as Tuan Zabe. Very interesting on how that is being handled. Martial, lower back. Jadon Sancho, he got sick. And Antony, he's injured. There's not a lot of context there. I imagine with the World Cup looming, you're going to see players kind of opting out, trying to get healthy. It's the World Cup we're talking about, and it's crazy that we're still playing given the World Cup is right around the corner. We're going to play for 10 days, up until 10 days. It's going to be insane. So a lot of players are going to be opting out here. Antony is probably one of those players. Like when Ten Hag says, hey, we're injured, yada, 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 it's like he's opting out so that he can be healthy for the World Cup, I'm sure. Given those are the injuries, what is your lineup?
So I got De Gea in net. Dalot, Lindelof, Martinez, and Shaw. I'm going to do Casemiro, Fred, and Eriksen because, like you said, Bruno is not available because of accumulation of yellow cards, so he cannot be picked. I'm going to do Rashford on the left, Ronaldo up front, and Garnacho on the right, sir. We got too much talent on the left wing. We got to put someone on the right. Who you got?
Sir, I hate to say it, but I got the exact same lineup
that you do. Let's go.
Because there's not...
Donny's not starting.
There's not a lot of availability. And like you said, Garnacho looks to be the most dangerous. But I would maybe switch Garnacho, put him on the left, put Rashford on the right. Because he could go Rashford at...
He could switch back and forth.
He could do Alonga, Garnacho, Rashford. Yeah. It will be interesting to see what he does. But I'm beating the Rashford on the left drum, so we'll go Garnacho on the right. But it's going to be interesting to see how he solves it. What are the bookies' odds for this one?
Sir, Villa are the underdogs, plus 240, the draw plus 250, and then United the favorites at plus 110. What is your score prediction?
2-1.
Who?
We beat them.
Yeah, we beat them. I love it. We beat them. 1-0. I think it's going to be like Edwards, a just tough match. Back and forth, highly contested. De Gea is going to be called into action. Lissandro Martinez, he's going to be stretched.
Everton was 2-1, I think.
No, it was 1-0.
Okay, so. Okay. Well, you know.
Find out.
We'll figure out who has brain damage. You and me. Let's go. Get out of the news. United in the news. Who can look up this match first? Everton 1, Manchester United 2. Alex has the brain damage.
There you go.
West Live on the pod.
Sir,
I'll tell you what. This guy, you've never seen.
A lot of games.
You've never seen anyone hit harder in the North Jersey trenches of American football than Alex.
How about like a side story? How about,
solid. How much you weigh back then?
Trenches is not an issue. The more important thing is what sport do you just like lie down on the ground, get up, and you just knock the guy in front of you as hard as you can? I mean,
maybe that's why
that is a sport prone to brain damage issues.
Sir, I mean, you know, it goes to show you.
Where am I? What day is it?
Manchester United stands on January signs in the transfer window. After record-breaking summer, planning has already commenced for the next phase of the squad rebuild.
Planning.
Manchester United are not actively pursuing any incomings in the January transfer window as they approach the final week of the season before the World Cup begins. United shattered their summer record.
Shattered.
Football director John Murtaugh stressed in September, quote, we are slightly ahead of where we expected to be. in the rebuild and do not expect a similar amount of incomings next summer. And obviously that means we're not going to be getting many people in January. Now, I've always said it. Director of football, GM in American football, you got to be nimble. You got to know where you stand. And right now, Manchester United have to know the number nine position. You're bleeding. You're bleeding out. You bring back Tony Martial like he's going to be the solution, even though he has a poor injury record, even though he scored like 6 goals in the last 2 years and arguably Sevilla was like, we're good. You bring him back. Oh, just kidding. He's going to be the man, and actually he's injured all the time. Clearly, it's not the way to go. Clearly, we need to be bringing in a body. We need somebody, maybe bring in someone young. We need a body. It's clear as day, just like last season, fighting for top four, needed a body in the middle of the park. They opted not to do it. Now, that hurts you in the long run. You got to be opportunistic. The one thing I dislike about Manchester United's transfer strategy is they are not
one
opportunistic.
Thing? Only one thing?
Moises Caicedo goes to Brighton. Jesus that Christ. Was opportunistic. Would have been a great buy.
£3.5 million.
And instead,
pounds.
We're just running down and overpaying for big names. And we're not. We got to play small ball. You got to be able to hit singles. You need home runs. But Darren Gibson, these are the singles that you need that get you the trophies, sir. You need singles. You need bodies. And we need like a Chicharito for 14.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you need somebody. You got to be sneaky. And instead we're just like, duh,
we don't want to do anything. Let's put anybody.
And that is just like the worst stance because we're dying for somebody to play striker. And this is a guy who likes Ronaldo, but he can't play the way Ten Hag wants to play. So why are we going to – you're competing for $100 million at the end of the day. So
you're actually competing for more because our Adidas deal steps down by $30 million next year if we miss Champions League again. So it's $130 million minimum that you're competing for. And we're Muppets.
So we're let's be like Umbro.
We're Muppets. We want, you know, in an ideal world, we get three signings. But just from like a brass tacks, like if I was running Manchester United, you'd be like, you have to get one fucking body in, and that one body is a number nine. You need a number nine. Obviously, we'd like another right back for cover. Obviously, we could probably use another midfielder. Obviously, we could probably use whatever, but we just need a striker, sir. We need a striker because that's, like you said, certain results this season that I think we would have gotten a 3 points instead of 1 point if we had the striker. And it's obvious as day. It's like Rashford's best on the left. Ronaldo can't play week in, week out. And against the top teams, he probably isn't the right choice. And this team needs a striker. It might be the difference maker in finishing top four or not. But then, dude, they're a reactionary club, right? They only spent the money they did because the season started like shit. They got pressure. And then they just finally acquiesced and said, okay, we'll get you some signings. They're not going to, you know, if we are in like a sniffing distance of top four, which right now we are, these next two games before the break will be pretty important around this. Dude, you know what they do. There's a reason they didn't sign nobody for Rangnick because we were actually in top four in January and we lost two strikers in Greenwood and Cavani and they're like, we're good.
No, we're good. Exactly. And look at the right wing. We got no one who can play on the right wing, right? So it's like Sancho should play there.
Anthony.
Ahmad should play there.
Starting to score goals.
Right? Facundo, this is before Antony. I know. We said it on the pod. Look, scored some great goals, right? I totally agree. Loop-de-loops, whatever. You got Sancho who can play there. You got Ahmad who can play there. You pay 30 mil. You got Facundo who can play there. And then you go and you spend 80 million on Antony. And then you're like, okay, who can play striker? Tony and CR7. CR7, the manager, having a fallen out, and Tony isn't healthy. Yep. So you have no striker. Yep. So as much as I like the Antony signing, maybe you go buy a striker and then buy a right. Like, I just don't understand. Like, how can you take the L on Ahmad, Facundo, and Sancho, who should be on the right? Rashford was always good to be on the left.
Yep.
Sancho came in to play on the right. That's the position. That's where we need him. And then we just bought another one. The balance is not there. That is the main issue at Manchester United is the balance, the short-sightedness. Obviously, Ten Hag driving a lot of that. And Antony's left foot gives us a lot of balance. but we need the striker. Money isn't unlimited. This is where the director of football adds value because there's tough decisions to be made.
This is all about the director of football because even removed of Anthony, it's like we remember we were small balling it. We've been small balling it for fucking years, but they were trying to get Sancho. They failed on getting Sancho. They dragged out the entire summer, wouldn't pay their asking price, which is probably the right move, but they waited late, and they ended up signing two youngsters for a combined like £55 million, neither of which feature at all for Manchester United. I don't think either has like started a Premier League match. And they'll probably never play a game for Manchester United, unfortunately. Facundo or Ahmad, we bottle that. Then you bring in Jadon Sancho. He should be the signing. Okay, well, he's not. You know, he's just not in great form. He hasn't hit the same levels that he hit in the Bundesliga. Then you bring in another right winger in Antony. Like you said, we have no director of football. So, like, at the end of the day, you're following the whims of your coach, which right now, honestly, our coach is much more properly set up to make decisions than John Murtough. John Murtough has no qualifications to be a director of football at any club, let alone Manchester United. And Erik ten Hag knows how to sniff out a talent. So you're totally right, you know, because we've been calling out for number nine. We literally have not replaced Lukaku, who left in, what, 18 or 19. And here we are today just still sitting around saying, are we going to get a striker? They said, the rumor was, now I know things have like cleaned up a little bit with Ronaldo and Erik ten Hag in the last week or two because he's been starting. But they even said, like, even if we get rid of Ronaldo, we're not getting another striker.
Yeah, exactly. The plan is no plan. That's what we talked about. The plan is no plan. The club is losing money. It's crazy that the state of things right now and the balance of the team. And ultimately, like, we have one of the most expensive teams in all of Europe, and there's no balance. And that comes down to people in charge not knowing what they're doing because there's plenty of money. There's plenty of moves that can be made. And you know, we're sitting on our hands eating paella on Las Ramblas. That's what we're doing.
Those guys.
And by the way, Frankie de Jong, not playing well. And he didn't play well for a season. And we wanted to buy him. Now he's in Europa League. So his price went down.
Welcome
I think
to the
it's
club.
All part of the plan, 3D, 4D chess. I love that my favorite people in the world are the people on social media defending Murtaugh and Arnold they're playing 4D chess. Like those guys. Without any experience.
Muppet's got a Muppet.
Drinking beers with fans looking really nervous. Have no idea. Like, it appears on the outside that they have no idea what they are doing. But people believe that they're somehow playing 4D chess and Frankie Deal was all done and it was all part of the plan and these guys are geniuses. They're not.
So you look at the photo. They don't look like geniuses.
Like,
they don't look
where
like
are we going?
They don't look like geniuses. Yeah. What town are we in?
First of all, you don't get seen. Yeah. Second of all,
you know, walk around like the main thoroughfare.
You're negotiating a deal. I said it on the pod during the time. Like, if you're negotiating a deal, he can come to you. If he wants to come to Manchester United, fly up to Manchester. Hey, that's how it goes.
That was when they were still running things. And then I think Erik ten Hag started having his say in August. And that's when the signings came in.
Look, next bit of news here, a special one. Talk about a rich history. Manchester United get the green light to build a statue of Matt Busby's former assistant, Jimmy Murphy. Played a key role in the resurgence of the club after the Munich air disaster. This February will be the 65th anniversary of the Munich air disaster. Probably the most important part of our club's history as far as the resilience and fighting back from this horrible tragedy. Jimmy Murphy, for those who don't know, he was an assistant manager to Matt Busby, the great Matt Busby, who was on that plane. And when he was injured, Jimmy Murphy took over the reins of the club. He was actually coaching Wales at the time, which is why he wasn't with the club. He took over the club as Matt Busby healed. Nobody knew he was going to come back. And when he did come back, he remained his assistant. He was a huge part of the youth movement at Manchester United. The Young Player Award is named the Jimmy Murphy Award at the club. He never went on to coach despite multiple offers. He always stayed by Matt Busby's side. A Manchester United man through and through and an absolute legend of the game. Someone who shepherded the club through its darkest days. Kept it running for a great legend and supported that great legend and was integral to the youth academy, building that out from scratch at Manchester United, a true legend. so they don't always get them all wrong. This one is absolutely right. Jimmy Murphy, legend in the game, and it's men like this who built this club and made it what it is today, and it's sad to see the Glazers owning it.
Yeah, I'm sure they had very little to do with this, but either way, it's great to see from the club a storied figure in the history of the good days and the bad. He was through it all, right, from 58, the crash in Munich, to 68, lifting the European trophy only 10 years later and being integral in building out of the Busby Babes, and someone who should remember it as a key figurehead and the type of personality and resiliency that is inherent in Manchester United, that is a huge part of who we are and why we will never die and why we will eventually rid ourselves of this parasitic Glazer family from the ownership structure. But shout out to Jimmy Murphy. Great to see more of that. Steeped in history. We're not like the rest of y'all. We're Manchester United. Let's go. This story, Jesus Christ. Why'd I include this?
Next bit of news. Jude Bellingham becomes Manchester United's top transfer target as Erik ten Hag eyes £100 million deal. Jude Bellingham. Now we finally have midfielders. Don't have a striker.
I'm about to say. Do we need a Jude?
What are we doing?
Could have got it for cheap, bro. Could have got it for real cheap. $20 million.
And who's in charge of that one? Murtaugh. Murtaugh wasn't the director of football, but he was in charge of the youth academy, getting the youngsters in. Holland, he bottled. Bellingham,
bottled.
Hands were in this one. The time when all these young players were bouncing on United and going to Dortmund, he was at the helm. This one, we should not be in for him.
No, we should not.
At all. This at is all. Not what we need.
Nope.
Got Bruno, have Eriksen. Obviously, Eriksen's older. But at the end of the day, like, I think we need to be thinking number nine here. And we know I have the money. So, obviously, I'd sign him and Holland in the same window, but we just can't pay for it. We don't have the money.
No, it doesn't make any sense because he's going to go for big, big money. He'll arguably be, like, the biggest signing of next summer. A lot of top clubs lining up to get him. Our ship is set. Dude, he ain't coming to United. He doesn't want to come to United, probably. And we ain't getting him because we don't have the money. And if you're going to spend $100 million on a player, it should be on a number nine who could play for 5-10 years. Okay, let's talk about 5 years and score 20 goals in the Premier League.
It's not about getting one. It's about getting multiple.
Obviously.
And it's about getting one who can win now, one who's young coming in the game, right? You need stages. Like, as the director of football, you need to be managing the roster in a certain type of way. And speaking of managing the roster, apparently the man to solve all of our problems is Choupo-Moting.
Remember him?
Choupo. He's going to be the replacement for Cristiano Ronaldo. How do you feel about Choupo-Moting coming in and replacing Cristiano Ronaldo?
I mean, it turns out if you can't do it on a cold night in Stoke, remember those nights? Stoke was such a pain in the ass team to play. And then they were replaced by Burnley. You know, Burnley became that tough team to play. Burnley's gone. I don't know who the new Burnley is. But he has been playing decently well. For Bayern, obviously, they're a top club, scoring goals. He's a tall lad, fits the profile. Years, he's a little bit on the older side.
But I mean, 75 games for Bayern, 27 goals, 9 assists. So, I mean, he's come off as a substitution 51 times. So, you know, he's coming off the bench for Bayern, not getting a lot of starting time. So, he's like an older...
He's also 33.
Disenfranchised bench player for Bayern Munich is going to be the solution at Manchester United. Now, look, that's not a bad solution, but we also need Sesko. You sign Choupo-Moting, you sign Sesko, Tony Martial gets healthy. You're talking about enough at the number nine position. Not going to win the league at the number nine position, but you're talking about something.
But this is very credible because he's old, right? He's over the hill. He's out of contract in the summer. That's a United special. It's like they don't want to spend money. You think they're spending $100 million next summer? No fucking way. So
we're not even in the good and cheap bid.
No, we're in like the free and cheap because this is like a free transfer.
Yeah, but we also went for the $80 million frosted tips bin. Like it makes we're never going overspend. In the middle. Like why don't we just like
we need more like Eriksen?
We need more value.
Malasias of the world and not waiting late. On Anthony and Casemiro, so you have to overpay by each of them by 30%. So that's where we are, sir. That's where we're at.
We either overpay or buy absolute dog shit. You know, that's the whole... And this is the insanity that we live in, the movie that just keeps playing, the 10-year journey to where we are, sir, and this season and what it represents. This season ending will be 10 years, sir. 10
and
years
counting.
Since Sir Alex Ferguson won that title with that amazing goal. Rooney, RVP. Let's go. I mean... that feeling that we had, it was just like ringing the cash register, win.
Yeah, it's gone.
Win.
It's gone.
Oh, win. Nope. Like one season. Okay, then we're back. Win. It's just like,
nope.
It was just, now we're just dying.
Nope, we ain't no good.
Dying. Jumping to the fan questions here at JDW300. Actually thought the ref was okay until the second half, and then the bias became very apparent. See Leach's red card. Four shots is not enough when you need two goals. Donnie didn't show up, unfortunately, so back to the bench, which is sad to see. Second half subs just didn't work, and now we draw Barca, Ajax, Juventus. Look, our fans know. They know it's rigged. We're definitely getting a big team.
No, and he's so spot on. First half, it was not egregious. Second half was truly egregious. Like, Leach, you know, Martinez getting that yellow card when he got clattered into, like, I don't know, having a laugh. The ref had no control of the game. They were lying down every 5 minutes. Like I said, nobody watches that shit league anymore because it's unfucking watchable. Unless it's the El Clasico.
Sir, we know how you feel about La Liga.
No, I love
sir,
Spain.
We know
I
how
got
you
no
feel.
Problem. I love
sir,
Spain.
Sir,
but
we
the
know
league
how
is
you
like
feel.
Dog shit. It's
feel.
Not watchable.
Sir, get
not
it
watchable.
Out. Get
it's
it out.
Not watchable.
Get it
it's
out.
It's like literally just painful.
Get it out.
It's like watching
this guy calls
American
me.
Sports with commercials.
You
it's
called
just
me yesterday just like ranting about La Liga.
Unwatchable. Unwatchable.
We've lost a lot of big games to Spanish teams, and the refs screw us. It's like the
fuck
MO.
Fuck
and clearly you're biased and upset, and this is what this pod is for.
Yeah, well, you know, they got me. Saucy Dad, the Saucy Daddies, they got me.
I knew what was going to be going in. I'm surprised
it
he scored a goal.
I know.
You know,
it's true.
I'm surprised
they let us score a goal without just like falling over. They tried to stop that play, by the way. If you see, they were like, they're, every time we got a head of steam, they would like literally tip over
keep
and
going.
Act injured.
Keep going.
Sorry.
Keep going. You got more?
I do got more. I can go for hours.
At Lauren Jr., quote, I don't understand Bruno playing the corner shot when Erik ten Hag put Harry up top. Makes no sense. Put the freaking ball into the box. Thanks, guys. Love the pod. Lauren, look, as totally. Far as the corners, you and me have been talking about that. First of all, the service not beating the first man very often is like you have to beat the first man. And that's also Erickson on the service too. So Bruno as well. It has been challenging for us. I mean, Dalot did get that corner goal, but corners we've always struggled with, and a good Manchester United side doesn't struggle with corners. We make these work, but this, I don't like passing these corners out.
I totally agree. Like, I couldn't believe that they did like this, you know, the fucking clever corner kick where they pass it out and then trying to cross it in from a different position. Just like put the ball in. You guys still have that. To your point, they have not been able to get past that first man recently, so it's probably what they were thinking. But we've always suffered with set pieces. We've been shit at it for years and years. We're finally kind of turning a corner a little bit. We obviously did score that to low corner, and that was a direct one. You know, that was no clever nonsense, but that was frustrating. I have to agree. We didn't get a sniff out in the second half. We finally get a good corner, and we didn't do nothing with it.
At Love the Bulls 18, quote, am I the only one where the urgency of needing the last goal was not there? Hanging onto the ball too long really killed us in the last 5 minutes. It was a strange game, you know. I feel like Spanish teams suck all that energy out.
In their home ground with like a dubious ref, like of course, like it's a tough place to play. They're up for it, right? It's a big time. They're playing Manchester United, it's, you know. So San Sebastian is not like Barcelona or Madrid. It's not one of like the big, big, huge cities. So for them, it's a pride thing. It's a challenge to play. But we look, dude, lick our wounds and move on from it. Like, I think the takeaways is the squad needs more depth. We need another number nine. And fuck La Liga. That's the takeaways.
At Red Devil Woody, last one here. This is a solid take. At the end of the day, we've had five other games to pump goals in. Shouldn't be relying on the last game to win it. Letting Ammonia score on us shouldn't have happened. We need a striker in January on the Villa.
Also,
that's the whole thing. Everyone's like, oh, the horrible penalty that was called. Like,
which is true.
It's just like,
it was a shit penalty call. Come on.
Sir.
It was.
Sometimes fans of this team need to, like, pull their head out of the sand because you're complaining about a penalty call in the Europa League group stage when you're playing the likes of Sheriff and Ammonia and you can't. It's like, if you can't score seven against Ammonia, like, you got problems, you know? It was like 3-2.
We got problems.
Yeah, we got problems. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, problems. This is tune-up stuff. If you're playing at a level where we should be, to win the league, to compete for the Premier League.
Right.
to compete for the Champions League. Like, this isn't something that you should that should bother you. It's clear. Over the six games, we weren't good enough. We struggled away against bad sides, and that is what this team is, and that is what this competition is. Now, I'm not saying it isn't hard, but at the end of the day, we deserve what we got. We will play Barcelona. It's going to wake up Barcelona, Manchester Can't United. Wait. How much money is UEFA going to make off that?
Plenty.
Quite a bit. That is it. That is the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are four fans by fans. Pod never sleeps. Support the pod. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our store, AmericanRedDevils.store. Check out our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. Like, subscribe, all those fun things. It all moves the needle for us. Honestly, reviews everything and moves the needle for us. We are a small-time operation. Sir, give us our top 10 cities last 7 days.
Look at this list. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Diverse group. Cork, Ireland. Bangkok, Thailand. Chennai, India. Oof.
Let's go.
Nyko Big Moors, Denmark. Shout out to Denmark. Let us know how much I butchered that. Columbus, OH, Ohio. Hercules, California. Pico, Rivera, California. Chicago, Illinois. London, England. And last but not least, Hollyhead, United Kingdom. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Big game on Sunday. Got to beat the villains. Unai Emery. Let's remind him what Manchester United's all about. Villarreal, Gdansk, that ain't shit. We're Manchester United. We're coming to Villa Park to beat them up.
Can't chocolate. Count Chocolate's got nothing on us. Everybody have a great weekend.
And it's big and it's blood and he plays it.